Well, welcome all to the services. We meet at the courtyard at the Marriott here at 3401 Sumner Boulevard in Raleigh, North Carolina, right off Capitol Boulevard. So we pray if you live close by that you'll come and be with us, and we'd love to have you in the services. We're going to be coming out of Acts chapter 1. I've been wanting to get into Acts for a long, long, long time. And I think the Lord has opened up a door. I've been really happy about this. So I'm looking forward to this. We're going to read verses 1 through 11. Acts chapter 1, verse 1 through 11. What we're going to preach on today is what Luke taught Theophilus from God's Word. And the whole book of Luke and the book of Acts was written to Theophilus. And we'll get into all that here in a minute. Verse 1 says, "The former treaties have made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, Ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence," or not long from now, is what he's saying. "When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." And then verse 12 says, "Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey," which is about 3/5 of a mile. So we're now getting ready to go into the book of Luke. This is pretty much an introduction, probably this week and next week. And then I want to try to just stay in the scriptures from here on in Acts. I'm going to stay with the scriptures, period, but try to stay close to Acts. But it's time for the Landmark Baptist Church Assembly. That sounds good, doesn't it? There was a time we was a mission work, and now we're the Landmark Baptist Church Assembly. It's time for us to go into the book of Acts and see how we are to function as a Baptist church and how we are to carry out the Great Commission, which we read of in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 through 20. Now, as a matter of fact, I might just go ahead and read that. It says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Now, we're going to be looking at a lot of scriptures, so I can send you these study notes. And you can listen to this message again as many times as you want on sermon audio. You can even go to the phone now on Facebook, or if you don't want to look at me, which is understandable, you can go to sermon audio and hit the pause button and listen and write down your notes and thoughts and then hit the play button again. For those that are listening, you just type in my name, John, and then Osborne, O-S-B-U-R-N, and then sermon audio. And you can listen to these messages. Now, Jesus made something very clear. We might as well go ahead and introduce ourselves. Something that Luke was teaching Theophilus. was about the Lord's church. And we see that when he mentioned about him gathering with his disciples. And in verse 18 of Matthew 28, Jesus said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Now, what he's getting across to those that he's speaking to, which is his disciples, Judas is gone. So there's only 11 of them now. If you remember, Judas took the Passover in Matthew 26, starting in verse 17, down to about verse 25. But when Jesus instituted the supper, Judas was gone. He did not allow Judas to take the supper with the church. He took the Passover with him, but he did not allow him. Satan entered Judas's heart. Judas went out to get ready to betray Jesus. But Jesus didn't have him there when they took the supper. And the reason why that is because he wasn't saved. And, of course, only Jesus, being the arbitrator of salvation, he's the one who knows. And no doubt there's people not saved who have taken the Lord's supper thinking they were saved. The way you can know you're saved is, what think ye of Christ? And I'm talking about something deeper than a head knowledge. I'm talking about a knowledge of Christ that causes you to want to live as he lived. You want to be at church because he started his own type of church. You want to be part of that church. And he's announcing to us in Matthew 28, verse 18 through 20, what took place in Acts chapter 2, which I'm not going to turn there right now, maybe not even in this message, but that's the day, remember over in Acts chapter 1, that you were to tarry at Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. That is the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit fell upon this first church. He did not fall upon 11 individuals. The Holy Spirit fell upon 11 individuals who were organized, who were a group of baptized believers that were organized by Jesus himself into an ecclesia, Greek word for church, which means local assembly. So Acts chapter 2 is all about the Holy Spirit falling upon that first church that Jesus built. And so Jesus is announcing, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Why is he saying that? Because he's enabling, or he's letting this first church know. He's given this first church, after he goes back to heaven, he's given this first church their marching orders, their instructions on how to function as a church. And to this day, we inherited this great commission from the Livingstone Baptist Church in Barboursville, West Virginia. When they came down to be part of our church ordination, that's why they came. Brother Richard, the deacon, and Brother Bill Tucker, and Brother Bill and Angie Blankenship, and Sherry, and all of them. They came down here because that was our mother church. And they broke us away by the leadership of the Holy Spirit. They separate us. They said bye to us, in a sense, like parents will say bye to their child when the child grows up and goes off to their own place. It might be a mile down the road. It might be 1,000 miles away. It might be on the other side of the world. But what happened with us in the Livingstone Baptist Church is exactly what happens to parents when the child gets old enough to leave and the parents say bye. That don't mean they're gone forever, but life has changed. The child is no longer there at home. They're on their own. And so this first church, Jesus is getting ready to, he's preparing it. He's letting it know, I've got all power in heaven and earth. I'm giving it to you. I'll give it to you later on. Pentecost. That's when you're going to have the power, because you're going to need this special power that's going to fall upon you from heaven through the Holy Spirit to invade Satan's kingdom and carry out my ministry and rescue souls. The Holy Spirit will use this particular type of church to invade Satan's kingdom. And God, the Holy Spirit, will use the ministry of each of his Jesus' blood-bought Baptist churches to rescue lost sinners from the prison house of Satan. So that's why in verse 19 it says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." Now look at the word teach there, and look at the word teaching in verse 20. If you look at your English Bible, it looks like they're probably the same word, doesn't it? Teach is teach. Well, not so in the Greek. The Greek is different than the English. And thank the Lord for that. And I'm not even studying. I don't even pronounce English right. But the Greek is much more detailed. Who is the Lord speaking to here? Well, we can see in verse 19 the word baptizing. Can we not see that? Matthew 28 verse 19. Well, who can do that? Can individuals do that, or does the church have to do that? Church has to do that, doesn't it? So we know he's talking to a church there. There's one other example we've got that Jesus is speaking to a church here. And that is that this is the same group of men that he took the supper with. Now, can an individual who is saved set the supper whenever they want? Or does a church have to set the supper? Church has to set the supper. Jesus set forth that example. Just because you're saved doesn't mean that you can partake of the supper. Well, how do you know that, Brother John? Well, Jesus' mother was saved. That's why the Lord chose her when she was a young woman to be his mother. And Mary was not even invited to take the supper. In Matthew 26, verse 26 through 30, Mary did not get to take the supper. Why is that? Because he had not added her to his first church as of yet, but she was saved. And so there's many people who are saved that will go to heaven that will never be brought into the Lord's churches. Even Jesus' own brothers who wanted him dead in John chapter 7. We read there in Acts chapter 1 where they too were members of that first church later on. The Lord had saved them and added them to his church there at Jerusalem. Mary was a member there in the upper room. And so there's qualifications to becoming a member of the Lord's church. You got to be saved, and then you got to be scripturally baptized. Baptism is the doorway into the Lord's church. I believe we find that in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13, for by one spirit are we all baptized into one body. Now, the universal church people will take that to mean that everybody that's saved is the church, and when you're born of the Spirit, you're a member of, quote, the church, unquote. There is no such thing as the church unless you're talking about a church at a particular location. The church, the Landmark Baptist Church Assembly, meets at 3401 Sumner Boulevard, North Carolina. That's where this church meets. And so you can use the words the church so long as you're talking about a local assembly at a specific place. And so the word teach there, it says, go ye therefore and teach. Now Jesus stated what he did in verse 18 to make clear that it's going to take the power of God, not the church, to do what he's going to give, that the instructions that he's given them in verses 19 and 20 is a work of the Lord. He's just simply using his particular type of church here and all the churches that have come from this church to carry out his ministry. Man-made churches cannot carry out the Lord's ministry. Why is that? Because only that particular type of church whose founder, and this is where it's all at, that particular type of church whose founder is Jesus Christ are the only ones that can carry out this great commission. Why? Because he gave his ministry to this first church. That's what this great commission is. They're going to continue on what he was doing 3.5 years prior to him getting ready to leave. And so he's instructing this church that he has built. He built this first church during his earthly ministry in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So any other type of church that has a human founder, Church of England, King Henry VIII, Roman Catholic Church, we can honestly say Nimrod, because there's traces of the Babylonian church all the way back to the Tower of Babel. Church of Christ, started by a man, Alexander Campbell. The Methodist Church came from, and the Lord may have saved people in the assembly, but the Methodist Church came out of the Church of England. Did you know that? John and Charles Wesley and George Whitefield were ministers, Anglican ministers, and their followers, and the Church of England came down on them because they were labeled dissenters, because they were preaching contrary to what the Church of England wanted. And so they, these three men, and we sing some of Wesley's hymns, but their followers became known as New Methods. And then eventually the name New was dropped and they simply just become Methodist. And then you got the Free Will Baptist, you got the Reformed Baptist, you got the Church of Christ with Alexander Campbell. And I'm not saying this to be arrogant. I'm simply stating a biblical fact so that people can look and say, am I attending one of the Lord's churches? Who's the founder of the church or the type of church that I'm a member of? Was it man or was it Jesus? Now, Jesus makes it clear in Matthew 16, verse 18, he's the one that's beginning a particular ecclesia. Because in the Greek, the word ecclesia went for any type of local assembly, political, social. If it was a planned meeting, it was an ecclesia. What Jesus is saying in Matthew 16, verse 18 is, I'm starting my particular type of ecclesia. It's never been seen before. And so he's giving it its marching orders. And so therefore, now it's called Baptist because one of the things it's supposed to do in verse 19, baptizing. That John the Baptist was called John the Baptist because he was authorized by God the Father in John 1, verse 31, to baptize. So I can scripturally say that the Lord's church is a Baptist church because the word Baptist, it's not so much a proper noun as it's describing what it can do that no other assembly can, and that's baptize. So Jesus is announcing in verse 18, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And Luke was writing to Theophilus about this assembly. And then he's saying, go ye. Is he telling individuals, which is the common interpretation of Matthew 28, verse 19? Is Jesus telling individuals to go? Or is he telling the individuals as a collective group of baptized believers, as a church to go? He's telling his church to go. Go ye therefore, now here we are with the word teach, and teach all nations. What does that word teach mean? Well, the Greek word is math8uo. Math8uo. And what this word means is to make disciples out of lost sinners. Now that makes sense because we got a divine order here. You got to have people saved before you baptize them, right? Go ye therefore and teach all nations, make disciples out of lost sinners, out of all nations. Here comes the next thing. Here's the second thing, baptizing them. Whoa, wait a minute, Brother John. Is that teaching believers baptism? You better believe it. Yes. You got to be saved before you're baptized. Well, that does away with this belief that water baptism washes away my sins. What can wash away my sins? Does it say nothing but water baptism? No, it don't say that, does it? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. That's what it says, isn't it? So you got to be a believer before you're baptized. Just remember, BFB, believer. Well, BBB, believer before baptism. Just triple B's. It's not hard. So the word teaching, the word teach there means to, it's a different Greek word than what's in verse 20. It means to make disciples out of lost sinners. What is this saying to us? Jesus is telling us that it's not the preacher and it's not his church, but he's going to use his church's ministry to take his gospel out to the world. You want to know why, how I know that? Because there was no other type of church on the earth at this time. And just because the Lord, just because man built churches 1,500 years later, and we've got every type of church that you can think of on the earth today, surely God uses all of them. Show me in the scriptures where there's a man-made church being used of the Lord to send forth his gospel. It's a question. Here's the question I always ask those who may not agree with me. If they believe the gospel can be preached outside or apart from the Lord's churches, here's my question. Where do they get their authority? Because Jesus is authorizing his first church right here. Go. Right there it is. Go. That word includes power and authority. He wouldn't tell this church to go if he wasn't going to empower it. He's not going to tell this church to go illegally. So the word go brings with it authority and power. Go ye therefore, teach. Make disciples out of lost sinners. We know the Bible teaches salvation is of the Lord. We know the Lord's churches do not save nobody. But there, I think Ted and I was talking about Revelation 1 verse 20 last Sunday after church about the golden candlestick in each of those churches. That's what Revelation 1 verse 20 is teaching us, is that each of the Lord's churches has a candlestick in it, the Holy Spirit. Man-made churches do not have the candlestick. Now, they may have people in their assemblies that has the Holy Spirit living in them, they're saved, but the institution does not have the golden candlestick. So here's my question. How can assembly that does not have the golden candlestick, the Holy Spirit, and that candlestick also represents Jesus Christ being the light of the world. That golden candlestick you read about in the tabernacle in Exodus chapter 25 through 40 was the only light that was in the tabernacle. Secondly, there was no chair in the tabernacle. Uh-oh. No time to be lazy. No time sitting down. It's time to get working for the Lord. And so only the Lord's particular type of churches has himself and the Holy Spirit in them. So how can a Holy Spirit-less, how can a Christ-less ecclesia do the Lord's work? It can't, can it? It'd be about like me taking over Mike's business. He saw quickly that my heart was in helping him, but my ability was limited. I couldn't even get the oil filter. Mike's being gifted to do all that work. I drive them. He fixes them. He repairs them. And thank God for that. I would not drive something I worked on. And so it is with the Lord's churches. Other churches try to do the Lord's work. The question is this, and it seems like there's all kinds of conversions. Here's what we've got to ask ourselves is, how can a church that is void of the Holy Spirit, void of Christ, in the institution, not in the hearts of the individuals, as the institution, how can a Christless and a Holy Spirit-less assembly do the same work that the ecclesia that Jesus built, which has Christ in it and the Holy Spirit in it, how can they, these other churches, do the same work that has Christ in it? And how do we get Christ in? How do churches of like faith, as this first one, how do they get Christ in them? How do they get the Holy Spirit in them? Through scriptural founding. Now, how is that? Through mission. Everything that our mother church has, we got it on the day we broke away from them. We inherited it. Just like children inherit the genes. We got the blood of the Father in us, and we inherit the genes of our parents, and we've got many of their ways in us. Everything that our mother church was at Livingstone Baptist Church, we got it. We've got the same Christ, the same Holy Spirit in us today that this first church had. You see what I'm saying? And we get that by being formed correctly from an already existing church of the Lord Jesus Christ. So go ye therefore and teach, which is matheuo. You don't have to remember that long Greek. Let me tell you something. The English word may not be very long. The Greek word might be really big. If you want to try to remember that, you go. But it's matheuo. And then it says, after they're saved, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. That's how I baptized Ted. That's how I baptized Brother Mike, Brother Ted, and Sister Tracy, and Brother Larry. I've got to baptize a few people here in the past few years. There's some churches don't get to baptize anybody for years. For years. Now thank God for that. Now verse 20, teaching. Uh-oh, there's a different Greek word. I know Mike's already looked up. He just can't wait. He's got to go and get that. Now, this Greek word is didasko. Didasko. D-I-D apostrophe A-S apostrophe K-O. Well, that's different than matheuo, isn't it? Well, then it must mean something totally different. After they're saved, after they're baptized, then the Lord's churches are to teach, and that word didasko means to instruct, to learn, to become a pupil, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Do you know what that means right there when Jesus said, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world? That means that the Lord's churches are not going to go out of existence until the rapture. Now, that doesn't mean that particular churches of the Lord Jesus Christ cannot die, because they do. But what this means is that the Lord's going to have at least one church on the earth before the rapture. We certainly hope it doesn't get that way, don't we? Because if that church is in China, we've got a long trip to go on Sundays, don't we? If it's in California, we'd have a long ways to go. West Virginia, let me tell you something. You can be there in 6 hours, but it gets tiresome going up there and back every weekend. We want to keep this church healthy. God's given this to us. It's a gift to us. And the way we keep it healthy is by living godly, holding to the truths, operating and functioning exactly the way the Lord wants us to do it. We got to keep order and everything. So there it is. There's the Great Commission. So we here at the Landmark Baptist Church, we're going to learn from God's Word as it's already started. I try to teach as I preach so you can learn. It's hard for people to enjoy the preach if they hear something that's been foreign to them, they've never heard before. You've got to kind of instruct what it is before you can enjoy the preaching on it. I like to do that. Lord willing, we will see from the writings of Luke, who wrote both the book of Luke and the book of Acts, how we are to conduct ourselves as Baptist church members and as saved individuals. It won't be this week. I'm going to go maybe 5 more minutes. We're going to see a lot of things. And we need to, some things we got to grab a hold of and follow, and other things we need to grow into. But we need to understand this one thing, that our private lives can affect the services when we come together in a great way or a bad way. I think the reason why we're enjoying the Lord's services here, Michael called me at times, say, "Hey, man, I got to talk to this person and got to share with them this, this." He does that quite often. We need, it'd be great to hear more members say that. Every now and then, Brenda will get in a conversation. Brenda's been a great help to some of the people she's met. And so she shares the gospel, she shares biblical truths with them, and they'll mull it over. So, and you can do the same thing if you're communicating with people. Look for a door to be open in something they say that will open up the door for a Bible conversation. We don't want our lives to negatively affect the Lord's services here, and they can. In Ephesians 4, verse 30, what you do in secret can bring a quenching of the Spirit to the Lord's services as well to your daily walk with the Lord. Ephesians 4, verse 30 says, "And grieve not the Spirit whereby you're sealed until the day of redemption." You can't lose your sealing, but that's S-E-A-L-I-N-G. You cannot lose being sealed, but you can lose the joy of your salvation. And I think that happens quite a bit to many of us. I'm going to end the message right here. And next Sunday, we're going to go into, we'll start with Ephesians 4, verse 17 through 32. And we'll see how some of the things Paul wrote that we are, as saved people and as Baptist church members. Well, I'll tell you what, let's just go over there. I'll go 5 more minutes. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. I know when Melvin preached, he tried not to go over. He didn't try to go too long to wear the people out, but we only, they got to meet, in those days, they got to meet three times a week. And we don't get to do that. So, how you live affects your services. The Lord's services. So verse 17, Paul's writing to the church at Ephesus. It says, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind." There got to be a difference between you as a saved person, especially if you're a member of one of the Lord's churches. There got to be something about you that attracts people's attention. And then you say, "No, brother, what we believe at Landmark Baptist Church Assembly is this, this, and this." Well, man, maybe I might need to come and visit with you and see what in the world you all are preaching over there. Bring it on, brother, because you're going to hear the word. Bring it. Come. He says, "Having the understanding," verse 18 of Ephesians 4, "having the understanding darkened." If you're walking in the flesh, your understanding is darkened by the darkness of the flesh. You can never lose the light of the gospel of Christ, but you can darken your mind with sin. "Being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart." Those who are not saved have darkness in their souls. Their whole being is immersed in spiritual darkness. We've got to be careful not to walk in the darkness of the flesh, because this flesh is still spiritually dead. And that means that the five senses of the flesh, sight, smell, touch, taste, and hearing, are bent towards the world and sin. You got to keep this and its five senses under control, or you're going to be living like an animal. Your soul has five senses. Remember the word Simra, C-I-M-R-A. C for conscience, I for imagination, M for memory, R for reasoning, and A for affection. You got to keep those under control too. And then when you die, your soul and your spirit's going to merge together as a saved person. Lost sinners do not have a spirit. They don't have you got to have a small S spirit, so the capital S spirit will have a place to live in you, along with Christ. And so, we as saints of God, there's a part of us that's in the light of the gospel. There's a part of us still in the darkness of the flesh. Jesus Christ died for your whole body, soul, and spirit. So you've received your spirit at the new birth. So you've got the down payment. for the rest of your existence to receive its salvation, and that'll take place at the resurrection if you die, or at the rapture if you're alive when Jesus comes to the earth, to the clouds to take us out of here. So this is still waiting on its redemption. Your inward man is saved, your outward man, but your outward man is going to be saved. So there's a war going on. This part of you that's attached to the world, the flesh, you continually got to rein it in and say, no, it's here where I need to be. Oh, let me tell you something. When I used to go out and eat on Sundays, I'm telling you, the restaurant food seemed to taste the best on Sundays. That's the devil. That's the devil doing that. I don't care what day of the week you eat at Sunday's barbecue. Sunday's barbecue is good. But there's just something about going out on Sundays. And that was just me. It just seemed like everything was just, no. It's the same food. That's just your flesh playing tricks on you. And so you got to hone in. You got to hone the flesh in. And so Paul's saying, having the understanding, those that are lost, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned in Christ. In other words, though you've been born again, you used to be that way, but there's a change. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. Did you know it's not your pastor that's teaching you? If you understand biblical truths that I'm preaching and teaching to you, it's Christ in you that's personally teaching you one-on-one. Did you ever think about that? It's Christ in you. When you read your Bible, you say, oh, I never saw that before. Well, the reason why you never saw that before was because Christ never revealed it to you until then. And that happens to me all the time. Here's what we're supposed to be doing. That you put off, verse 22, concerning the former conversation, the old man. In other words, get away from that old lifestyle, which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. In other words, you got to start the day out at the cross. You got to watch out for that mind because your mind is where all judgments are made. And you got to make sure, and I've got to make sure, we make our daily judgments based upon Christ Jesus and his holy word. And that you put on the new man. Like putting your clothes on to go to work. You got to put on that new man, so to speak. Which after God, leave those dirty clothes of the flesh, leave them. Put them in the garbage. Put on that new man. That new way of living. Every morning you wake up and all through the day. And that you put on the new man which after God is created in righteousness and in true holiness. Wherefore putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. For we are all members of one another. We've all got Adam's blood in us. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Ooh, you might as well just keep your anger. If you're married, you might as well get your argument settled because if you go to bed angry, you're angering the Lord. Neither give place to the devil. Don't you give that devil an inch because he'll take a mile. Let him that stole steal no more. That's what repentance is, a changed life. But rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which is good that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. I've never seen as many filthy Christians, quotation marks, unquote, as what's today. Oh, yes, I'm saved. Then they're talking and using foul language, dirty jokes. Like, no. But that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed until the day of redemption. You know, the Holy Spirit has feelings. That's what that verse is teaching you there. He's not some abstract existence. He has feelings. And it hurts his feelings when those he dwells in is not living according to the word. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind. Ooh, there's a There's a scripture Baptists need to really work on. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. We'll end the message right there. And I pray this message has been a blessing to your heart. And so we'll finish this next week if we're not in the clouds. If we're in the clouds, we won't have to worry about it, will we? But if we're here, we need to hear it. So let's look forward to coming here next Sunday. But let's always wake up asking, Lord, is today the day that Christ will come and take us out of here? Let's bow our heads. Father in heaven, in Jesus' name, we praise you for this wonderful day of worship. Pray that you'll guide us and be with us and keep us in your love. Protect us, Lord. Help us to conquer our Goliaths. Help us not to worry and fret, but to just rest completely because, for the simple fact, we have Jesus in us. If we lose everything, we've got Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, and amen.